We have 4 rooms for guests. I'm sorry we don't have more, larger, or better rooms for you. But the Baron isn't in the habit of hosting so many people at one time.
Ryan wondered what Robarts was talking about. The rooms were better than anything they'd seen in months.
This is fine.
First-class accommodations. 5-star.
Robarts smiled and nodded.
Very well, then. The Baron will be meeting with you in an hour. Spend the time as you wish.
The Sec Chief turned and walked back down the hallway in the direction they'd just come, leaving Ryan, Christy, Doc, and JB to examine their new surroundings. The walls along the hallways outside their rooms also had stress fractures and cracks in them. It was possible that the only parts of the building that were cracked were the inside walls and outside bricks, and that the interior steel superstructure was undamaged, but that was unlikely. While the building would remain standing for as long as they'd be staying there, a single large blast in the right place, and the whole thing might come down like a house of cards.
Think it's safe?
No, but it's been standing for 100 years, so it should be safe enough for the next few days.
JB lifted the brim of his fedora and ran a hand over one of the cracks in the wall.
I wouldn't want to be a permanent resident, though.
We'll leave as soon as we're resupplied.
Then he continued inspecting their living quarters. Their rooms were small and dark, with sturdy wooden beds topped with mattresses made of dried corn husks and covered with old but clean blankets.
Hey, there's a bed in here. I don't know how long it's been since I've slept on a bed.
Meanwhile, Ryan and JB were busy examining the rooms for booby traps and locks. There was no evidence of either, which meant they couldn't lock their doors, but they wouldn't be locked into the rooms by their hosts either.
Impressions?
Looks good so far.
Too good, you think?
It crossed my mind.
Gentlemen, I too am astounded by our good fortune, but how many times have we rescued damsels in distress only to have that noble act of extrication be punished by imprisonment, threats of death and bodily harm, or simple misfortune? Is it so inconceivable that for once in this forsaken hell of a land there might be someone who is actually grateful for our good deeds and wants to thank us with a reward that is actually in line with the magnitude of our deed?
JB looked strangely at Ryan. Ryan glanced over at Doc and smiled.
I think he might have a point.
Maybe, but I'm still being cautious. In Doc's time, there might have been people who were friendly like this, but I haven't seen many in the Deathlands. My guess is that the Baron wants something from us, and it's not the pleasure of our company.
So we'll be on alert, and no one goes anywhere alone or without a blaster.
Sage advice, my dear Ryan. In the meantime, I am going to take full advantage of the amenities. I want to be well rested for the reception.
You expecting Eleander to be there, Doc?
You read my mind, Christy. What an absolutely charming gift you have.
Ryan stepped into the room he and Christy would be sharing. In the second room, Doc lay down on the large bed in the middle of the room, the only bed in the room.
If there's something caught in your throat, John Barrymore, I believe there is water in that jug on the table over there.
Doc, Mildred will be back soon.
Doc looked at JB for a moment, then glanced down at the bed he was lying on.
Oh, of course. I shall take one of the other rooms.
JB grinned in thanks. Doc stepped into the third room that had a single large bed, just a tad smaller than JB and Mildred's, and closed the door behind him. Then he lay down on the bed and fell asleep, with thoughts of the lovely woman, Eleander, swirling through his head. Sec Chief Robarts caught up with Baron Demann when the Baron returned from his visit with the prisoner.
How is my old friend Desmond?
The Baron responded with a smile.
I'm afraid he's no longer with us. The damn fool would have rather died than tell me how he was skimming off me.
Demann noticed Robarts visibly relaxing at the comment. For now, the Baron would continue to let him think he'd pulled the wool over his eyes.
It'll be a lesson for the rest of the men. Anyway, we have visitors.
Yes, I saw the wag come in. Who are they?
Outlanders. They happened upon Eleander and Moira down at the river.
The river? What were they doing down there?
Robarts hesitated, knowing that telling the truth would likely warrant punishment from the Baron, but also knowing that the truth couldn't be avoided.
Moira says she asked Eleander to take her swimming. They had planned to be back before anyone realized they were gone.
The Baron abruptly stopped walking and turned to face the Sec Chief.
How did they get out?
I have men checking on that.
Were they really swimming?
Moira said it was her idea.
Do you believe her?
No, but they were in the water. They had no provisions with them other than two remade blasters.
Perhaps they were using the outing as a test of the walls and of your Sec Force's brand of security.
Robards was silent, knowing there was nothing he could say in his own defense.
Obviously, you failed. But even though they got outside the Ville undetected, they can't leave. They need to be close to the Ville for the rest of their lives.
Robards waited for the Baron to punish him for being so careless with the Ville's security. But luckily for him, it didn't happen.
Eleander must be punished, of course.
Thank you, Baron.
In his relief at not being punished himself, Robards had almost forgotten to mention the muties.
When the Outlanders came upon them, the two women were about to be raped by muties.
Muties? You're supposed to take care of them as well.
We did our usual sweep, Baron. They must have found new places to hide, or they were new muties.
So these Outlanders saved the women?
Chilled the muties like they were chilling flies.
Then I suppose we owe them a debt of thanks.
I've conveyed as much to them.
Well, give them some jack and send them on their way.
Again, the Sec Chief hesitated. It was the best he could do to let the Baron know that he didn't exactly want to follow the order.
What's the problem?
I've offered them a place to stay for a while, and you'll be meeting them in an hour at a reception.
I don't want to waste my time with Outland garbage.
Your feelings on the subject are well known, Baron, but I would like to keep this group close by for the next few days.
Why is that?
Well, for one, I'd like to test my men against them.
Yes, I suppose that might be fun. I'll see if it can be arranged. What else?
The leader of the group is somehow familiar to me. I've sent a man to Indyville to check on something for me. He should return in a day or two.
The Baron looked at his Sec Chief with an inquisitive eye.
All right, Robards. I trust your judgment enough to let you play this out, but in the meantime, would you mind telling me what all this is about?
I'd rather not until I'm sure. Could be right, could be wrong.
Will I like what you have to tell me if you're right?
I don't think so.
Then don't tell me until I need to know.
Ryan lay back on the cot, watching Christy strip to the waist. There was dirt and grime on her skin, darker on her arms and shoulders, lighter but still present on her back, belly, and breasts.
No running water in here, lover, but they did leave us a few jugs of water, washcloths, and a wash basin big enough to stand in.
Very kind of them.
Would you like to wash my back?
She slipped out of the rest of her coveralls, exposing her exquisitely shaped buttocks and powerful thighs and calves. Ryan knew that if Christy felt comfortable enough here to wash up, then they were probably safe for the next little while. Ryan, too, felt safe for the moment, but he also knew that the feeling wouldn't last. It was best to take advantage of the moment and enjoy it while it lasted.
How could I say no?
He got up from the bed and approached Christy from behind. She gathered her fiery red hair in her hands and pulled it forward around her neck and away from her shoulders to expose the base of her neck and top part of her back. Ryan picked up a washcloth and dipped it into the lukewarm water. After squeezing out the excess water, he dragged the damp cloth across Christy's shoulders and watched as the dirt and dust of the day flowed away, leaving her skin smooth, unblemished, and clean.
That feels good, lover.
Ryan said nothing in response. Instead, he rinsed the washcloth and continued bathing Christy, moving down her back, over her buttocks and thighs.
You're right, lover. This does feel good.
Your turn now.
Ryan stripped down, keeping the Sig Sauer and Steyr within arm's reach. The water felt cool on his skin, and Christy was careful to wipe gently over his scarred flesh to make it feel more like a lover's touch than a bath.
Does that feel good?
Ryan didn't answer at first. Instead, he turned around and let her see the effect she was having on him.
Oh, lover.
Ryan took Christy in his arms and carried her to the bed. Eleander was hard at work in the lab, making insulin for an East Coast baron with diabetes.
Just a minute.
But before Eleander could answer the knocking, the door burst open and Sec Chief Robards was standing in the doorway. There was a look of evil on his face, as if he intended to hurt someone. Someone like her. Eleander shrank from the doorway.
What is it? What do you want?
The sec chief took a few steps forward, pushing her backward and forcing her to crawl away from him. But she was running out of room in the tiny lab.
You know why I'm here.
We were just swimming, I swear.
A good story for that Outlander trash, but not good enough for me or the Baron. We know you were testing possible escape routes.
No, that's not true. Moira just wanted to get away for a little while, just the two of us alone. How could I refuse her?
You're supposed to have an escort anytime you leave the Vill. You know that as well as anyone.
And with the way your sec men look at us, who will protect us from them?
After so many years, I still can't believe you need to learn your place here.
I'm a chemist, and Moira's mother...
All of which means nothing to me.
Robarts grabbed her arm.
No, please don't. I'm sorry!
Oh, now you're sorry. Your little adventure made a fool out of me in front of the Baron.
It was never meant to. I only wanted to spend some time with my daughter.
But the sec chief was no longer listening. He reached into a pocket on the thigh of his pants and took out a tiny syringe. Eleander saw the needle.
No, please, I'll cooperate, whatever you want.
But it was too late to change his mind. The sec chief jabbed the needle into the base of her neck. Almost instantaneously, Eleander's body went limp. Robards tossed the needle aside and removed his belt to deliver the first whipping.
This'll teach you to fuck with me.
Mildred made one last check on Jack's wound. Although it wasn't much more than a flesh wound, there had been some tearing to the muscle tissue that had to be repaired before she could close up the hole in his shoulder. Luckily, Katz had been able to provide her with a local anesthetic that deadened the area enough so that Jack wouldn't be in too much pain while she worked. His body jerked a couple of times when she hit a nerve, but there were no major problems, considering where they were and the conditions the surgery had been done under. Jack wanted to sleep now, but Mildred wanted to join up with the others before letting him doze off. In a few hours, his shoulder would feel as if it had been hit by a Gren, and by then he'd be a lot harder to move. Mildred turned to Katz.
I came here with Jack and four others. We're supposed to be guests of the Baron. Can you take us to where my other friends are staying?
I'd be happy to. Anything you need.
Thanks.
They're probably in the old Sekmen's quarters in the Baron's mansion. I'm going there anyway.
Mildred helped Jack to his feet, and together they exited the building and started walking down a dirt road that knifed its way between rows of small clapboard houses and large steel shacks.
You do good work.
Thank you.
Were you a healer once?
I know some things.
I bet it comes in handy out there in the Deathlands.
Once or twice?
You know, if you're tired of being an Outlander and maybe wanted to settle down somewhere, I know the Baron would be thrilled to have someone like you around.
You think?
Oh, I know it.
Well, I've had similar offers before, and I've always turned them down. I'm not much of a healer, really. More like a dabbler.
A good one, though.
I appreciate the offer, but I've been with my friends a while now, and we've become sort of a team. I'm not ready to break it up just yet.
I understand. But if you ever change your mind, you'll be welcome back here.
Thanks. I'll keep it in mind.
Excellent. Ah, here we are.
They came upon a pre-dark-looking structure made of bricks. Its three floors rose up from the ground, towering above everything else around it, as if it were a fortress.
Very nice.
This is the Baron's residence. The Baron lives here, of course, but your friends are staying here, too.
Katz caught the attention of a sec man outside the front door of the building.
They are guests of the Baron as well. Take them to the others.
The sec man nodded.
This way.
Mildred said thanks and goodbye to Katz. Then she and Jack followed the sec man inside, down several dark corridors until they came upon three rooms at one end of the building. As they approached, the middle door opened slightly to reveal JB standing there with his Uzi in his right hand.
Just us, John.
JB opened the door wide. The sec man left Mildred and Jack in the hallway, then headed back to his post. JB opened the door to the third room, where Doc was asleep on his bed. He helped Mildred take Jack to the bed on the far side of the room. The albino grimaced several times as he was eased onto the bed, but once he was stretched out, he closed his eyes and was asleep in seconds.
How is he?
Sleeping like a baby now.
He'd be all right then?
He'll have some pain in a few hours, and there's always a risk of infection, but he should be as good as new in a couple of days.
JB entered their room and put down his blaster.
Were you expecting trouble?
Not really. Just didn't want you to interrupt Ryan and Christy while you were looking for a room for Jack.
Mildred looked skeptical.
Uh-huh.
She listened closely and could hear expressive sounds coming from next door.
That sound been giving you any ideas?
JB just smiled. Mildred began to get undressed. After a search of the residence, Katz found Baron DeMann tending to some of his open-air plants behind the mansion. There were special projects that the Baron was experimenting with. Most of them were new plants he'd grown from seeds traded for on their last trip to several eastern villes. Half the seeds had been planted in the glasshouses, while the other half had been planted outside in an attempt to see which conditions best suited which plants. Based on the size of the outside plants, growing them inside the glasshouses seemed the only way they could be grown large enough to extract sufficient amounts of active ingredients.
excuse me, Baron.
Baron DeMann steadied himself on one knee and looked up from the leaf he was examining.
What is it, Katz?
I've just come from the clinic.
One of the guests was wounded, right?
Yes, Baron, a shoulder wound. He was tended to by another one of the Outlanders.
And he's doing fine now, I take it?
Katz nodded.
The dark-skinned woman who looked after him.
The Baron got up to his feet.
Yes?
I think we could use her talents.
Does she want to stay with us?
I made suggestions about it, but she politely resisted.
The Baron considered this, then smiled.
Not to worry. They're not going anywhere for a while. I'm sure you'll have the chance to ask her again under more favorable conditions.
Katz smiled at that.
Thank you, Baron.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.